The following presentation is from North Pine Baptist Church. We trust that it will help you learn more about God and His message for the world. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.
Out of this particular verse, firstly, we want to see that never in the New Testament, in fact, never in the whole Bible, is this idea of reward, is it you are rewarded with salvation. So always in the New Testament, reward language is language that associated with a wage or with a payment for your efforts or with God going the extra blessing or an abundance that you would not have otherwise received. So in this verse, these verses here, Jesus is not talking about those who have the idea, perhaps, that they can work their way into God's favor, a salvation by works approach, and they're rewarded with salvation. Jesus is focusing on the motivations and the intentions of all those who are in God's family, including us today. And it's really important to remember that it's not about salvation and how to be saved, but motivations and intentions. And that brings us to another aspect of Matthew 6, verse 1. And this is the fact that this is a situation in our lives that requires real, ongoing diligence. So a very, very literal translation of Matthew 6, verse 1 would go like this. I command all you disciples to keep being vigilant and on guard today and every day, that you are not now or will not sometime in the future have the ongoing behavior of practicing your righteousness before others, to keep having your righteousness seen by them. Okay, that's a very, very literal translation of what Jesus is saying in the Greek in Matthew 6, verse 1. And the reason Jesus is doing this is because the examples that he gives where righteousness being practiced to be seen by others, they actually happen in the most spiritual of circumstances. So, the first circumstance that Jesus gives an example of is when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. The next example, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. So giving and praying are key elements of our relationship with God. This is a spiritual discipline, a spiritual response that we would generally say, when Christians become Christians, what are things that they do? Well, they would give their finances and their time and their resources for the work of the Lord, and they would be people who would pray. Fasting is also a great spiritual discipline. Not everyone fasts, and that's okay, but it's an important spiritual discipline as well. And so what Jesus is saying in this section is, when it comes to this situation of doing things that are be seen by others, it actually can take place in the most common and the most regular of circumstances, spiritual circumstances that happen in our lives. And who are the people who do this? Well, they're all called hypocrites. Hypocrite is the Greek word to describe an actor in Greek and Roman theatre. Hypocrites were those who wore masks. And so the actor would wear a mask, and then the word hypocrite literally means to be behind or to come from behind the mask, and they would portray the person that they were being by putting on the mask. And they were called hypocrites, which is okay if you're an actor, because that's what actors do. But it's not okay if you are a disciple. So what Jesus is going to show us through this is Jesus doesn't want us to become actors. Jesus doesn't want us to be people who turn on our righteousness when we're in the limelight, when we're in front of other believers, when we're in Christian circumstances. Jesus doesn't want our holiness to start when the music starts and the lights turn on. Jesus wants people who are genuine and authentic and honest. And these three examples that we're going to focus on are showing us how do we avoid practicing a righteousness to be seen by others. How do we avoid being hypocrites? All right, let's read Matthew 6, verses 2 to 4. So when you give, Matthew 6, 2 to 4, there it is. When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is in secret, will reward you. When Jesus describes the trumpets announcing the giving, he actually is describing a historical situation. So when people came to the temple, in the temple or in the temple precinct, there were these boxes called shofar chests. And the design of the shofar chest, you can see it if you've thought of those, you know, those old, I can't even think of the name, the first records with that big thing out, that gramophone, thank you very much. Okay, and the idea was to get the sound out. The top of this thing is designed like a gramophone. Yeah? And so you pour your money in, remembering in those days there was no such thing as cryptocurrency or cash or paper money. It was all coins, hard coins. You pour the money in and it would hit the bottom and then the noise would be amplified. And when that happened, there were people in the temple who would literally play a trumpet. Now, not everybody who gave was looking for the accolade. But it's pretty hard to give in secret when it's designed to amplify the noise, isn't it? And so there was this attitude that was encouraged about letting people know what you do, letting people know how much you give, letting people know how generous you were for God's kingdom. And there were plenty of people who would be that person who everyone praised as being holy because they came up to the shofar and, you know, if you made it, you know, pour it out from here so it's got further to travel so it speeds up and it can make more noise in the sound. There were people like that. And Jesus is saying to these people, if that's the way that you are going about doing this, you are a hypocrite. You are play acting. Now, in our day of electronic giving and envelopes and collection bags, it's actually not as easy to show what you're doing with your money unless you actually say it. And I think also when we're thinking about giving and we're giving about finances, we want to think here too about the giving of our time, giving of our resources, giving of our gifts, our spiritual gifts, where we're doing these things to be seen by others. And you go, well, does that happen? Well, yes, it does happen, and it happens very, very easily. Here's one way that it happens when we want to try and discern, are we play acting? Social media is great for this. You know, you see all these people, oh, here I am, I'm giving this stuff or I'm doing this thing and here's a selfie with me and these poor people in the background who I've helped. Now, I'm not saying everyone who does that is wanting to do this to show that they are doing this for the wrong reasons, for a righteousness to be seen. But it's really, we've got to be really careful about it, don't we? That we're telling the world, you know, the scripture says, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Well, here I'm going to put up my left hand, take a photo, so that the whole world knows what I'm doing. And then that becomes an inspiration, doesn't it? And so other people go, oh, that's people like that. They got lots of likes for that one. So now I'm going to go out and I'm going to give and I'll use my left hand to take a photo. And then see how many likes and how many thumbs up I can get. A thumbs up is not a good thing now, I've heard as well. So don't do thumbs up anymore. Apparently, it's bad. So anyway, that's a millennial thing. You talk to one of the younger people, they will tell you why that is the case. Okay, so social media. How can we tell if we're play acting? Another way, so this is a word I've made up. They're called humble boasters. Humble boasters. Humble boasting is especially prevalent among older Christians. And they've been around for a while, these older Christians. And then when you're talking to them, they'll say things like, you know, I was one of the 10 people that were here when we first built the first building on this church, on this property. I was one of those. Or they'll say things like, I led Sunday school, and when we had Sunday school ministry, we had 200 kids coming to Sunday school. Or, I was an elder for 43 years. There's actually nothing wrong with celebrating what God has done in us and through us. But the problem becomes when people are saying this because they're saying, I want you to look at me and I want you to look at all the things that I have achieved and I want you to come to the conclusion that I'm quite holy, and because I'm quite holy, I think I have a right to have more influence today than other people. And holy boasting, humble boasting, because they want to be seen for a purpose. And we know in the old days, sorry, talking about now attitudes, another indicator of play acting is attitudes. So there'd be people, and maybe it's ourselves, and thinking of ourselves, and we've done something, and we go, wow, that was, I really had to give up a lot for that, and I gave a lot for that, and I went above and beyond. And no one noticed. And no one said, no one even said thank you. And no one congratulated me. And then Mr. What's-His-Name, he did something, and it wasn't even as good as what I did. And now I'm jealous and now I'm envious because he's getting credit and he was noticed. And what about me? What about me? And we know in the old days that if we had been around, there would have been a trumpet blown for the things that we had done. And we kind of know, well, it's not so good to blow your own trumpet because a trumpet is, you know, a very obnoxious and loud thing. But what about blowing our own gazoo? It's ridiculous, isn't it? Like, you can see, you know, blowing our own trumpet versus, it's ridiculous. And yet, spiritually, isn't that what we do? Isn't that where we're falling into? Where we want people to notice and we want people to see because we want some sort of reward, or we want people to understand how impressive we are. Are we giving because of what the Lord has done for us, or are we giving to be seen because we want to buy recognition as to how holy we are? And so Jesus is putting this area in front of our lives and getting us to think about these sorts of things, the subtle ways that it can happen, where the giving, the very act of giving, a core and central aspect of our response to the Lord, becomes an act of hypocrisy because we're doing it in one way or another to be seen. That's the first example that Jesus focuses on. The next example is Matthew 5:5-15. Let's read it. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask of him. This then is how you should pray. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will again not forgive your sins. Again, Jesus is talking here about a historical situation. In the days of Jesus, and rightly so, people were encouraged to pray. And at certain times of the day, there would be people who would be on the streets praying out loud, facing a certain direction, bringing their prayers for the Lord. And people were encouraged to pray out loud in the synagogues and all of those sorts of things. So it's not the actual action itself, the out loudness, that's the issue here. It's the motive behind it. And what would happen is that people would be out there praying, and then some of them would end up in like a prayer duel. You know, so, well, I want to pray and you want to pray, but who prays the longest? And so there's these people and they're praying and they're praying, and I can't give up praying because they're still praying. It's a prayer to the death, really, isn't it? And this is what would happen. Or who can come up with the hardest words and the most words? And this is what would happen. And it looks like they're talking to God. And all these people would be going around lunch and they're still praying at afternoon tea. And wow, those people are really, really holy. And they must be really talking to God. But they're not talking to God. They're talking for everyone else around them. And God's actually not listening anyway because they're not talking to God. Now, what might such a prayer, practicing your righteousness in front of others, sound like? Now, I'm going to be really careful here because I'm going to say things that you might have said yourself. Now, if you've said this, it doesn't mean that you are a person who is practicing your prayer righteousness in front of others. But I want us to think about how subtle it can be. So, here's a prayer that might be one where I'm praying and practicing my righteousness in front of others. So, we're in a prayer group. And Lord, we pray for Stephen Rodriguez, who's not a believer and who I have been visiting every week for the past month. And I have been sharing the gospel with him every time. And when he needed help to buy groceries, I gave him money. Lord, we pray for him that through all I am doing, he will come to know you. Now, be careful how we pray, don't we? Where we don't use this prayer to boast about what we're doing. We want prayer to be what's God doing. What's the needs of going on? Are we praying for them or are we standing on the street corner? We're just trying to think about how this could work. This is another one. This one's more subtle. Let's say we've got a Christian mate. His name is Blue because he's a fair dinkum Aussie. And he uses all the Aussie slang and he's always saying things like, how you going, mate? And she'll be right. And what a beauty. And now we're in a prayer group. And we say, hey, Blue, why don't you pray? And Blue says, right, let's pray. And Blue says, our gracious Heavenly Father, who has manifested his omnipotent power in us, we beseech thee to incline us your ears to us as we prostrate ourselves sincere in the imputed righteousness that is ours through your only begotten Son. And some people are sitting there going, wow, Blue's so holy. And other people are saying, where's Blue gone? Like I said, we've got to be really, really careful. And there are people who pray like that. But the reason they pray like that is that's how they pray all the time and that's how they speak. We put on these prayer voices. We've got to be so careful of the prayer voices. See, it's so subtle. And this is why Jesus is saying we've got to be so aware. We've got to be so thinking about it, so on guard. Because even in the midst of these most central responses and spiritual disciplines, it can happen. Are we there? Are we praying because we're impressing people? Are we there because we've got this hypocrisy? We're acting. or not. And in this regard, Jesus gives us two directives. As he talks about prayer, he gives us two directives. He says, firstly, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Now again, it's not saying that Jesus was against public prayers. We've even got record of Jesus' prayers. And other people pray in public. It's not the publicness of it. That prayers in public are always to be done, to be seen. The point Jesus is making is to get us to think about who are we when we pray or when we are on our own. Who are we when we are in relationship with our Father who is unseen and we're going into the place where we are unseen by others? And are we the sort of people who have this vibrant prayer life where we're regularly coming before the Lord and we're seeking Him and we're beseeching Him and we're pouring out our prayer life to Him and we're in this wonderful prayer relationship with Him? Is that us? Or when we are behind the closed doors and when we are praying to the Father who is unseen, what the Father sees is a person whose prayer life is a little bit, well, ho-hum and inconsistent and perhaps even relatively non-existent. And then we come out of this space into public. But now that we're in public, we've got the words and we've got lots to say because now people are looking at us, and we better pray that way because now people are looking at us. So the question is the fervency of my prayer and the depth of my prayer and the authenticity of my prayer a reflection of who I really am behind closed doors in my prayer life? Or when I go out of the space, when I'm not behind the closed doors, when I'm not speaking to God in that space who is unseen and I'm before everyone, suddenly I've got all the words and I've got all the prayers. And God's sitting there going, why can you do that in public but not with just you and me? What's your motive? Do I pray more fervently and frequently when I'm alone or when I'm in public? Is my public prayer an overflow of my private prayer? Or in reality, is what I pray in public really just that's all I pray? Jesus is helping us to discern this hypocrisy that can come, this play acting that can come. The second objective that Jesus has for us, he says, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. And then in this context, Jesus teaches us the Lord's Prayer. Now, on another time, we'll go step by step through each of the petitions in the Lord's Prayer. But for today, I want us to understand the context of the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is given in this context so we know how to pray without babbling. That's part of the purpose. Jesus is teaching it here. This is, how do I pray and not babble? So how do we pray and not babble? We say, our Father in heaven. Why don't we join in if you want to? Our Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. A whole lot of stuff is said there without babbling. Without babbling like the pagans. Without becoming hypocrites. And so we look at this prayer and we go, Lord, how can we pray? How can we use this format? How can we use this approach to be those who don't babble like pagans? Prayer. No hypocrites wanted. Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 18. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, in the Old Testament, there are no commands that say that people must fast. There's one verse that kind of comes close, Leviticus 23:27. It says the 10th day of this 7th month is the Day of Atonement, so it's an event that happens on the Day of Atonement itself. Hold a sacred assembly and deny yourself and present a food offering to the Lord. So there are some who say that this word deny yourself means actually that we need to fast. It's not the technical word for fasting, I think, and the general consensus is denying yourself is denying yourself the pleasures of life, denying yourself going to work, all those sorts of things. So when we look at the scriptures, there is no verse that commands fasting. Fasting is a totally voluntary spiritual discipline. Now, that being the case, if you were the sort of person who liked to do things or liked to act in a way where you practice your righteousness before others, and if your goal was to be that person, then fasting was a really good way to do that, to achieve this outcome of, I want people to look how holy I am. Look at me. I'm fasting. I don't have to fast. I choose to fast. Look how holy I am. Do you see how somber I look? Do you see how unkempt my hair is? Do you see my unwashed clothes? And everyone around's going, yeah, we see that. Look how holy you are. You've given up soap. You've not washed your clothes and you look unkempt. You're all sad and you're all glum. The reality is you can go down to the local university and there's heaps of people who look like that. Seriously. It's nothing to do with the spiritual discipline. It's all for show. It's a voluntary action. But look at me. I'm making a real sacrifice. Now, those who truly understand the purpose of fasting, I can almost guarantee, but more than likely, you will never know who they are. You will never know who the Christians who fast are. And the reason that you will never know is the heart of fasting is to deny yourself so that you can hear God more clearly. And so those who are fasting in the right way, in the way the Bible intended, they are the people who are hearing God more clearly. And when you hear God more clearly, you won't be a person who practices your righteousness for others. In contrast, the hypocrites, specifically here we're talking about the hypocrites who are in this above and beyond sort of ministry space, they'll try and take any chance that they can to let people know just how much they're giving up for God. Now I'm going to say that in this place and in this context that Jesus is talking, it's not just, I don't believe it's just fasting. It's the above and beyond ministry. And here particularly, pastors are especially in danger. Do you see how much time I am giving for you? Do you see how I was there? I was there at 1:35 in the morning. When you needed me. I was there when that beautiful saint died. And I'm going to tell you all about it. I'm looking for the rewards of a people rather than the rewards of the Lord. What am I doing this for? What are they doing it for? pastor I knew once, people used to say that, what have you done this week? He would say, what haven't I done? Well, I could think of a list in my head of 20 things you haven't done. But it's this, what are you doing it for? Now, I'm using pastor examples because this is the world that I live in, and I know the temptation myself. How easy it is to say things where it's like, I want to tell you, but we've got to be so careful that it's not boasting, and it's not looking at me, and it's not looking at what I'm doing, and all those sorts of things. So it's this fine balance. It's not the easiest thing. And it's the same right across all of these things. When it comes to giving, when it comes to our prayer life, when it comes to fasting, when it comes to these spiritual disciplines and all that sort of stuff, it can be so subtle. And so Jesus knows that. Jesus understands that, and that's why he gives this attention to it, because he wants us to think about who are we in all of this. As we go about our spiritual life, as we go about the spiritual disciplines, as we go about serving the Lord, what are we doing it for? Who are we doing it for? Why are we doing it? Are we actors? Are we hypocrites? That somewhere we're practicing our righteousness to be seen by others. Maybe we're overtly doing it. Maybe it's more subtle in our lives. Maybe it's not in every area of our lives, but in perhaps pockets of our lives. And there's this space where we are giving the spiritual equivalent of an Oscar performance. If that's what we see in our life, we need to stop and ask ourselves the question, why? Why is it that I, as a disciple, have fallen into this place, this spiritually dangerous place, of putting on an act? Why do I get upset when people don't notice what I do? Why do I get jealous when other people get noticed and get credit and I don't? Why is it that some people seem to get more of the opportunities to be up the front, but I don't? Why is it that I'm not asked? Why is it that my contribution hasn't been acknowledged? Why do we fall into that place? Why is it that somewhere along the line there's this sense of where we want to pull out our kazoo and we want just people to notice, even just a little bit? Doesn't have to be a trumpet, just a kazoo noise. Why? Why do we do this when the very foundation of our relationship with Jesus is that God knows exactly who we are? And when we come into relationship with Jesus, he knows us. And all the stuff that he sees, there's nothing impressive about it. It's sin. It's brokenness. It's baggage. It's hurt. It's damage that you have done to others. It's lack of forgiveness. It's a whole range of things. It's rebellion. The enemies of God. God knows exactly who we are. And with all that sin and with all that brokenness and with all that baggage, God looked at that and he saw we needed help. And so he sent his son, Jesus Christ, who dies, who rises again, so that we can put our faith and trust in him. We who are very unimpressive, we who are sinners, we who are far from God, we who have wandered, we who are in rebellion, that we have this opportunity to come into his family. And then God in Christ looks at us and he doesn't see the brokenness. He doesn't see all of these things. What he sees is you who needs forgiveness. And then in Christ, he looks at us and he says, you know what? Now that you are with me in Christ, you are holy. I declare you holy. Every single person in this room who has come to know Jesus Christ, who has confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord, God declares you holy in Christ. And you may not feel like that. And you know that there are aspects of your life, even as a Christian, you make an unholy mess. And you say unholy things. And you do unholy actions. And then we want to turn around and then we want to say, yeah, but God, don't look at that stuff. What about my prayer life? And what about my giving? And what about my sacrifice for you? Just look at that stuff, Lord. And we choose what we want to show the Lord, and we want to impress the Lord. But what are we doing it for? Because we've been declared holy. And whether you continue on in that struggle with come with sin, which all of us do, or whether you are the most faithful servant of the Lord, you are still holy. There's nothing you can do that God's going to look at you and go, you are now less holy in my sight in Christ. And there's nothing you can do that's going to make you more holy. That's the accolade that you have from the Lord in Christ. We come to the Lord in relationship with Him with no pretense and no pretend and no hypocrisy, just recognizing that we need His grace, we need His love, and we at heart are spiritually bankrupt. And then God Himself gives us the accolade because of who we are in Christ. And God Himself says, you are holy. Even in those moments when you don't feel like it, you are holy. And we know He says that because the Scriptures promise us that when we have the Holy Spirit, that God is with us always. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will bring us into eternity because of who Christ is. We don't live our life defined by what other people think about us. Or what we want them to think about us. We live our life defined by who we are in Christ. That's why we guard against this spiritually dangerous habit of practicing our righteousness to be seen. Because there is nothing else that anyone can say of you. No accolade, no congratulations, no thanks. Nothing else that's going to be more of a blessing, more of an affirmation, more of an accolade than God saying to you, my child, you're holy. You're holy. So let's stop hypocritically chasing after empty rewards, chasing after the spiritual equivalent of an Oscar-winning performance. In Christ, you're holy. And that's the only accolade that matters, both now and into eternity. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for being a Savior who declares us holy. As we wrestle with what that means, to live for you, Lord God Almighty, help us to be spiritually content with that declaration, spiritually content with how you define us. We want to serve you, Lord, not because we want everyone to know, not because people we want the accolades, but because of what you have done for us in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, help us to identify in our lives those times when we've become hypocrites, those times when we're doing what we're doing to be seen by the people around us. Work your Spirit in us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for this presentation from North Pine Baptist Church. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.